We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Welcome back in. Mark Grody and Anthony Herron are in for McNeil and Parkins today on New Year's Eve on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. I'll do my radio requirement. Very WGN. Hey, everybody, be careful out there. Let's make sure you get yourself in an Uber, get yourself in a taxi. No reason to get crazy. Get yourself inside. Just be safe out there today. 312-644-6767. Textable at 670-11. Coming up in 20 minutes, we will talk to Olin Krutz at 4 o'clock. Rich Campbell, who was out at Halas Hall today to hear what the general manager, Ryan Pace, had to say, as well as the Bears head coach, Matt Nagy, also George McCaskey, the chairman, was speaking. I think the president of football was out there talking too, and that was Ted Phillips. So we'll get some full insight from Rich in just a little bit, and Olin will break it down just like he does. Well, one of the things that became pretty clear today, and you never know for sure what is real and what is not real, because general managers are not required to necessarily tell the truth about what they have up their sleeves as far as player personnel is concerned. But it sure looks like Mitchell Trubisky will be back as the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears next year, and upgrades will occur as far as the backups, or at least that's the indication from what I heard from Ryan Pace today and listening to that press conference from Lake Forest today. However, Matt Nagy was very specific with a couple of things that Mitchell Trubisky must improve right away, and here is the first one.
So number one is going to be, we talked about decision making, but I want him to be a master at understanding coverages. You know, so when these defensive coordinators, they have different ways of showing different coverages, and they're good at it. And so our first year here, I thought Mitch did a really good job at understanding the importance of getting in and out of the huddle with the verbiage that we have. We've also learned, not just with him, but with our players, how to use that. The next step, we talked about it this past year going into it, was level 202, right? Now, how do you see the defense? Well, is that front stunts, blitzes? Is it first wide vision with a motion or a shift? It's seeing the mic rotation. Let's now put all that together and understand now how defenses are going to try to trick you, and let's not get tricked. If we do that, we slow the game down, and we collectively get other parts of this offense fixed, which I know we can, and that's our job. That's the exciting part, is that looking for solutions, staying positive, believing in people, and getting this thing done.
When you have a quarterback, two quarterbacks that were drafted after Mitch in the playoffs, and you have another guy drafted the year after who's probably going to win the MVP, how are you able to stay this patient with him when younger quarterbacks are accelerating at a different rate?
Man, just to go back to the mastering coverages for a second,
yeah.
How far away is he from that mastery right now?
He's not far, but what we need to do is we need to really hammer through on in this offseason here, understanding, you know, the amount of different coverages and different looks that you get from these different coordinators that are out there. And that's not hard. That's just a matter of you know, continuing with that commitment of doing it. And then
get it? Such a sad ending. Sad ending. I don't feel fulfilled. I feel empty here as 2019 winds down. That was Bears head coach Matt Nagy discussing understanding coverages for Mitchell Trubisky. One of the things that Trubisky told me right after the game the other day against Minnesota, the number one thing that he wants to get better at is decision-making. And I think that the two go hand in hand, decision-making and seeing what is available, knowing what is not available, knowing when you should take an attempt down the field to one of your playmakers or maybe even take off. And we'll get into footwork here in a second. But what was your reaction to hearing that, Anthony Herron?
Unsurprising. You know, I think there are certain quarterbacks who can still play well, who can in some cases even thrive without being able to do the things that Matt Nagy is describing there. You know, like a Pat Mahomes, who's already got a league MVP under his belt there. I think that he's not necessarily a coverage scientist yet, But I think he is so uber talented. It's not that he doesn't or can't read coverages, but even when he gets fooled on occasion, he's so intuitive with his playmaking ability. And he's just so uber talented with his arm strength, with his arm talent. And to me, I define those as different things because he has got a howitzer for a right arm, but also he's got the ability to thread passes in at different trajectories when necessary to get it over that first defender, underneath the second defender, to do it within a timing where the receiver hasn't declared open yet, but can just, you know, to use the term, throw guys open
like the Dallas
from
game.
Various arm slots, exactly, yeah. Like the Dallas game. And so Mahomes can do that without being a coverage scientist. Deshaun Watson, the other quarterback that Trubisky is often compared to, he doesn't have the complete intuitive ability of Pat Mahomes, but I would say he is further along as a coverage scientist than Pat Mahomes is. That's where pre-snap, just being able to diagnose what the defense is going to show him during the snap, trying to get a sense for what they're doing when they're rolling coverages, being able to, because of what was predetermined before that, get the ball out on time and in rhythm and with accuracy to the receivers within the route tree. Mitch is not an intuitive player, at least not to the extent that he just sort of innately has a sense for when someone's about to declare open, throwing guys open before they've even made certain movements. There was more of him attempting to do that at times this season, but it was usually still a bit delayed, still a bit late when he would try to do things along those lines. Mitch has always, and completely, and even whether in the draft evaluation or getting through, not necessarily his rookie year, but even last season, his second year when he ended up, you know, becoming a Pro Bowler by the end of the process, he's a reps guy. And the biggest and best reps guy I can think of is Peyton Manning, where Peyton Manning was not, he wasn't an artist with the way he played the game. He wasn't this intuitive player, but he was a guy via repetition, just taking every practice rep he could over and over again and never making the same mistake twice again in game and remembering what this particular opponent did and what the pre-snap read looked like in that moment and being able to process that in a moment's notice, like a microprocessor. Like there were no gigs of RAM that were beyond Peyton Manning, but through the repetition of it, he could eventually just make that happen over and over again, and it became muscle memory. That's more in line with what Mitch appears to me, where he will need to be able to diagnose things in that manner, because he's not necessarily an intuitive player at this point, and that's not something that necessarily develops later on, but you look for that to become muscle memory, and that's where the repetition of it, that's part of why. You know, you heard it last offseason. We kind of heard a tinge of it today at the podium where, you know, may need to urge Mitch to take a little bit of time off here and there because he is hungry for reps. He's hungry for work. He's trying to figure out, you know, this whole thing of being an NFL quarterback. It's not something that comes natural to him, even with the physical gifts, because he is an immensely physically talented guy, not to the Mahomes level, but he's a very physically talented guy for the position who just, it doesn't all come natural to him from the mental end of it.
The other thing that Matt Nagy mentioned today, so there's that he wants him to master the understanding of coverages. So that's one part. The second part was about footwork.
Not mechanic-wise. I'd say, Adam, the biggest thing for him that we can continue to work on is, and he'll tell you this, matter of fact, we were just talking last night and evening a little bit on the season, and one of the things that I think that he wants to improve a little bit is a little bit of his footwork in the pocket, a little bit more trust where you're not drifting out. Now, it worked for us on 4th and 9 at the end of the game last week, but there's times throughout this year where I think focusing on trusting the center of that pocket, pushing forward, and now he's a running threat. You know, he becomes a runner. So if they want to play two-man or they want to do some different coverages where he can take off with his legs, he can do that. So that'll be mechanics-wise. Nothing from the shoulders up. You know, it's more so just footwork. The other thing with this offense is it's all about timing. So routes are matched with the footwork of the quarterback. And so mastering the footwork mechanics of knowing, is a guy pressed, is it off, et cetera, that's huge.
Yeah, and the trusting of the center of the pocket is interesting, because that is a tough trick to pull, I think, for quarterbacks, because when you start to feel that pressure, you panic and you want to get the hell out. The guy who has mastered that is, and part of why he is great, is Tom Brady. Like, you just watch no other, because we know how immobile he is, unless you're Brian Urlacher, then there's just no way you can stop Tom Brady when he's in the open, when he's in the open field. But that guy, he's just great at not panicking. he'll take a sack when he has to, but he does not have the mobility skills of Mitchell Trubisky, who I've said since the beginning of the season he has been conflicted in that regard, because one of the things that Matt Nagy told us in training camp was, we want Mitchell Trubisky, part of the 202 program, or 201, is it? We want him to be a pass-first quarterback. And to do that, you have to feel that pressure coming from the center of the pocket, and you can't necessarily just bail out every single time that you feel that pressure coming. And I think that maybe that is Mitch's instinct, to want to evade even that little bit of pressure that's coming out. So when I hear that, I don't know if that's the best position to put Trubisky in, as in, shouldn't he be allowed to evade that pocket a little bit more in order to get to the special skills that I do think he has, just like you?
And that's what frustrated me in watching the Bears offense in so many games this season, because they didn't consistently and effectively call Mitch into movement to use bootlegs, to use sprint outs, to use hard play action. There's a number of different things that, as the examples I was given yesterday about, you know, offenses that are not the same offense, but have a similar temperament of constantly taking their quarterback from pocket pressure in a called manner, not forcing them to have to scramble to evade pressure to extend the play. Just saying, we're going to extend the play for you. Here's a sprint. Here's a bootleg, Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's the RPO, Lamar Jackson. Here's a QB run, Lamar Jackson. Here, Josh Allen, in short yardage, you're basically going to become a fullback, and we are constantly going to say you are throwing outside the pocket. We'll use some roll protection. We'll use some trap protection. Maybe give you an extra blocker out there in space. Use some throwbacks. Like, occasionally we saw the Bears utilize the throwback here and there. It wasn't always set up earlier in the game to set up the throwback always, for whatever reason, early in the season. Then later in the season, Matt Nagy learned from that mistake, set some things up early in the game. Then the throwbacks became more effective. The screens became more effective off similar action that was utilized earlier in the game. So we saw Matt Nagy develop as the year went on, still inconsistent late in the year. But yes, to get Mitch on the move, to get Mitch out of the pocket, where in 2018 he was one of the most effective passers in the NFL when on the move, and then 2019 he turns into Pocket Mitch. And Pocket Mitch is not an effective quarterback in the NFL. Pocket Jimmy Garoppolo isn't the most effective. Pocket Josh Allen, pocket Lamar Jackson is okay, but not nearly as effective as Lamar Jackson on the move. And the Bears allowed opponents to dictate to them too frequently that they were going to keep Mitch in the pocket because of coverage, because of alignments, because of other things, that you can still get your quarterback moving in a variety of ways, that they, for whatever reason, sort of outsmarted themselves at times and kept Mitch in the pocket where he's not at his best.
That's Anthony Heron right there. I'm Mark Grody. We're filling in for McNeil and Parkins today on The Score. And by the way, why were you looking in my bag like that? You kind of cryptically looked in my
bag. I was trying to figure out exactly what was happening there. Yeah. You know, I brought in the mystery slice of pizza over here, yeah, and I saw the bag here. I didn't know if there was some mystery hard-boiled eggs
no,
in the bag.
I told you how important sparkling water is to me in my life yesterday. So, yeah, I got my bubbly. There's so many sparkling waters out there, so I like to try them all. And I have really settled on bubbly, which was introduced at the Super Bowl last year Michael Bublé doing the commercial, because they thought that was clever and funny, and they won me over, and it is actually the most delicious sparkling water. But yeah,
maybe that's why Lovey liked your face. You do have a slight resemblance to Michael Bublé.
Oh, really?
You should grow your hair.
Really?
Out.
I have a friendly look about me. You're right. Yeah, Lovey, you did. He gave me that look like, I like your face, Mark Grody.
I get it. When I saw you on the orange carpet celebrating the Bears 100 before the season,
first words
out of my mouth. Yeah. Yes. Like a runway model. You should have been walking the orange carpet by yourself.
Christopher Dickens is losing his damn mind over there, telling us to take a break right now, our wonderful producer.
You don't want to keep Olin Krutz.
No, Olin Krutz is next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's go with the lineups. You got Olin Krutz, the Hawaiian heartthrob.
Olin Krutz.
Olin was the best center in the league. He made me a better player and competitor. We all looked up to you, Olin.
14-year NFL veteran.
Olin Krutz was a warrior. He embodies what a football player is.
Six-time Pro Bowler and four-time NFL All-Pro.
Touchdown!
Who was that lead blocker?
Olin Krutz with a block.
The old veteran comes out there, cuts the defender off of his feet.
Football analyst for 670 The Score and NBC Sports Chicago.
These guys, you know, it was club dub. They were flying high. Yeah. Look, they went into the offseason. Nobody took a beating because of the double doink, right? Mm-hmm. So no one had to answer questions about their play.
Olin Krutz.
The conversation is about the toughest guy in the room. Olin Krutz is being talked about.
Olin Krutz with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Mark Grody, Anthony Heron in for McNeil and Parkins on the score. And indeed, joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. It is Olin Kreutz. And Olin, the first text that I see on our fully refreshed screen at 670-11 is Olin interviewing for the O-line coach position? He should be. So, Olin.
His name is actually pronounced O-line Kreutz. So I don't know if we knew that.
Yes.
You know how much security they got in that building to keep me out?
You know, I
so
think.
No, I will not be interviewing for that job.
I think that is a good starting point since we have you on as four coaches were fired today, one of them being the offensive line coach, Harry Hiestand, who I know that you are close with, a guy that I know you respect a lot. What did you think of that?
Yeah, to be fair to everybody, right, Harry's a really good friend of mine. I'm obviously biased. I don't like the move at all. A tough day for me, a tough day for anybody, I'm sure, when one of your close friends gets fired. I think what we saw, so I'll try to stay away from that as much as possible, but I think what we saw today, if you just look at everything, Heffrick getting fired, Gilbride getting fired, Hiestand getting fired, that was the definition of self-preservation, right? Hmm. That was the definition of, look, we got to do something big here. Our offense is terrible. Look, if I am the person in charge of the Chicago Bears, then you have to explain to me how we got to the point of where we're going to fire Heffrick, right? And what has Heffrick done? Well, Heffrick has run Coach Nagy's system, and he's tried to be a quarterback coach for Ryan Pace's number two pick in the 2017 draft. So the two guys making the decisions to fire these guys have a lot to do with the guys that these coaches have in their room, right? The system that they're running, the offense that everybody is struggling with. And if you think they're going to change their offense, Coach Nagy told you the answer when he told you that Mitch Trubisky needs to work on his footwork so he can master this offense for next year. So you already got your answer there, right? Gilbride gets fired. Why? Adam Shaheen and Trey Burton can't stay on the field. Adam Shaheen was a second-round pick. You go all the way back to re-signing Zach Miller and his injury. And you understand why Gilbride never had a chance either. So at some point, it just becomes, is it us or is it them and the coaches in the room not developing guys? And let's move on to Coach Hiestand, who Charles Leno was already re-signed when he got here. Bobby Matthew was already brought in. Cody Whitehair was drafted before Coach Hiestand got here. So a lot of this is just our offense didn't work. It seems like a Hail Mary. And look, they're the guys who are going to be in the building. They're the guys that George McCaskey has entrusted with the Chicago Bears. So they make the decisions, and this is the decisions they made, and hopefully it works out for them.
And Olin, there's been a degree of continuity when you think about Leno and Massey, the number of games they've started together over the last few seasons, Cody Whitehair being in that mix with them as well. Then James Daniels gets added into things, and of course, you know, once Kyle Long goes down, then you have a new right guard in there, what ended up being Rashad Coward. But overall, a fairly decent degree of continuity over the last few seasons. What was a quality run-blocking offensive line before the Matt Nagy regime came in over the last two seasons has constantly struggled with that. And Harry Hiestand, it seemed like a great hire at the time because you have experience as an O-line coach coming in with this first-year head coach, essentially a first-time offensive play caller. While you weren't obviously in the meeting rooms with the coaches, but just what is the dynamic of an O-line coach and an offensive line that's accustomed to each other in trying to figure out how do they make what was working before suit a new offensive system?
Now, you'd have to go back and look at all the stats after saying that, right? And I'd have to go back to when John Fox was here there last year. Were they a great running team that year, too? That I don't know. I think the first year Coach Nagy got here, I think if I remember correctly, they're 11th in the league in rushing, averaging 121 yards a game. So I don't think they were terrible. I think at the end of the year, Jordan Howard actually got hot. He actually was averaging 4 yards a carry
in a lot of those games.
At the end of the year. I think against the Rams, again, it goes back to what is the real problem with this offense, right? Against the Rams in week 14 last year, I think they put up 195 yards rushing and only scored 15 points. The problem with his offense is not the running game. The problem with his offense is no matter what's working, they can't put the ball in the end zone, right? So, you know, I'd have to go back and look at all of that. I think they brought in Heffrick. When you just take a look at the film, I think they brought him in to install his zone read RPO, kind of the Oregon, University of Oregon run game system. And maybe Coach Nagy didn't think that that worked. And look, to be fair to these guys, if they're going to be the ones in charge, they have to make the decisions. And if you take a step back and just look at it with these guys who got fired today, then you have to say, okay, it just must be the fact that the scheme-wise, the philosophy, the way we coach things, Coach Nagy just didn't like it, right? And that's fair. He's the boss. So now we're all looking at him to see what he's going to do now. But something, guys, that has to be said in all of this, Big Ant, and you've been around the NFL for a long time, and Grody, you've been around for a long time covering things. Bad quarterback playing, this is an old saying in the NFL. All the old-timers say this. Bad quarterback playing gets people fired. That's exactly what happens, right? So now you got three guys who are fired. You got an offense, you know, that's struggling, and three guys moved on today. And then you take a look at, okay, now if the owner walks in here, what are we going to tell him? So we have to change some things, and they let Heffer go. And that's the direct reflection on Mitch, which is interesting since Ragone's the one who's been coaching him since he got here. And I hear everybody in the media always raving about Ragone, which makes me wonder about him. Gilbride is gone right now, and Heastand is gone. So they'll bring new guys in that hopefully they think matches their scheme and what they want to do, and hopefully gets this offense back on the right track.
So you said it, you know, you're right. Quarterbacks get coaches fired. You've been around a ton of quarterbacks in your playing days. You've watched mm-hmm. Mitchell Trubisky play. And you mentioned it at the beginning of this interview about the idea of mastering understanding coverages. Do you believe mm-hmm. that Mitchell Trubisky can master that understanding of coverages? And what does it take based on some of the quarterbacks that you have worked with in the past?
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about footwork, but as far as that quote goes, wow, man, that is something, right? Because that is something for guys who've been around the NFL a lot. That is something that's very hard to teach, and you can teach it. And we've all seen guys who can get up on a grease board and write down every coverage, every play, every adjustment to a blitz. But I'm going to tell you guys this, man, processing information in that 20 and sometimes 10-second window, because mm-hmm. you got to imagine now, and you guys know this, the safeties are hiding the coverages, they're hiding the blitzes that you see in the beginning, and right when you start rolling through your cadence, they flip everything, change everything up on you, and there's a whole new coverage and a whole new blitz. And that, guys, is hard to teach. And the only thing you can hope is really that all film and all the reps that Mitch Trubisky has gotten over these last 3 years, and the fact that Coach Nagy almost stubbornly, hard-headedly kept him in the pocket this whole year, that helps him develop that. Because you are not going to work on that in the preseason. You are not going to work on that in the grease board. You are not going to work on that in the video room. That is something that you have to develop on the field. And I would almost argue that's something that you're almost born with, or you either have or you don't have.
Talking to Bears legend Olin Krutz here on The Score. You got Mark Grody and Anthony Herron in for McNeil and Parkins from 2 to 6 today. He is on Twitter at Olin_Krutz. Been a great addition to 670 The Score in recent years, breaking down Bears games. Olin, the what we heard from Ryan Pace today, you know, there wasn't a lot of new information that necessarily came out of there, but the faith he has in Mitch, I suppose unsurprised by it because that's your number two pick in the draft, and in some ways Ryan Pace will end up being tied to Mitchell Trubisky moving forward. But when you look at the personnel that's up front on the offensive line, so the quarterback's not going to change, somewhat indicated that maybe some personnel on the offensive line would change, could change. If so, what would you advise them about where the spots to attack personnel-wise? What do you do with Cody Whitehair and James Daniels? Do you flop them back? How do they go about trying to improve the O-line?
Right, and there's another thing we talked about, right, where bad quarterback play, people lose their jobs. Well, who was the first guy who lost his job this year? It was James Daniels, right, because of supposed communication problems between all over the offensive line and between him and Mitch, and just made everybody more comfortable And I know they try to say it was because of Coward, but I'm not buying that, right? But what you heard from Ryan Pace today was, Leonard Floyd, we really like what we see out of him, 2016 first-round pick. Mitch, he'll be all right. He's developing, 2017 first-round pick. Adam Shaheen, when he's healthy, we really like what we see out of him. Guess what that is? 2017 second-round pick. So, like we talked about, self-preservation is what you saw today. But if we're talking about just the offensive line, look, you go out there, if you're going to go in free agency, maybe a big guard that, you know, Kyle Long's injury really hurt that offensive line this year, him not being able to stay healthy. So if they could get somebody in the middle, because James and Cody are both a little smaller guys in there, not really, and Cody's not really that small, but I wouldn't say he's a road grader in there, a guy who gets after people, gets nasty. And if you just want an example of that, turn on the film in that last Vikings game, and on Montgomery's touchdown run, when there's a rugby scrum and all the old linemen are diving in that pile, right? And that's when you know, like, Big Ant, you're like, oh, that guy wants to get after it. That's a dog. Well, Cody Whitehair standing there taking a little bit of a break. So they need somebody with some nasty, somebody who gets after people in the run game. And look, if you can go get an elite, a quality tackle out there, if you can sign maybe a Conklin from Tennessee Titans to help you too with the run game, another big body. I think he might be coming up to be a free agent this year. Costanzo, I heard him say that maybe he's even thinking about retirement, so maybe he's not the guy. We'll see what I'm sure Ron Rivera, we know him, and I see Haskins is already, trying to get him back. Trent Williams, see what they want to do with him at the Redskins. But, you know, it's just hard to find elite offensive linemen. And if you go through the Bears draft, and I know that I've said before that Harry Heistam is a friend of mine, so don't take everything I say about the offensive line too seriously. I take that stuff kind of personal, but that's just the way it goes. But you just look at the drafts and the free agents that Ryan Pace has brought in, and it just baffles me that he can sit on that stage and act like he's, you know, well, what did he say? We struggled in that area, and that was real. That hurt us, right? And you go all the way back to the Oakland game in London, and the first thing Coach Nagy talked about was the offensive line. And I got to get the run game fixed. I wish he would have said we, but he said, I got to get the run game fixed. And that's when I first started worrying about how he felt about that offensive line. And we came to the end of the year, and I'm not shocked that the offensive line coach got fired just because all the things I heard all year. So it's not hard to figure out what you got to do to fix that offensive line. It's just hard to get guys out of the draft and get guys free agents who everybody else doesn't want because everybody's looking for offensive linemen.
Have you seen enough of Alex Bars to know whether or not he's starting caliber in the NFL?
No, I have not. I've watched him play at Notre Dame. Obviously, know Alex pretty well. I have not seen him play in enough NFL time versus real NFL starters to go against guys week in and week out. Because, look, let's be honest, guys. You can look good for 1 week. You can look good for 2 weeks. But the real NFL guys, they eat week 8, week 9, week 10. They're still coming after you. So there's no way anybody could right now know what Alex Bars will bring to them. He looked good in preseason, right? He looked good in preseason. But the reason he said he stayed and didn't go to New England to be on their active roster was to get coached by Harry Heistam. So who knows where he stands now. So we shall see as this offseason goes on how they feel about some of these guys that stayed around or came to play for Harry.
We were talking about Mitchell Trubisky's comfort in the pocket and the fact that it seems like he panics a little bit when it starts to collapse, even a little. And we talked about the example of standing there in the pocket, and that's Tom Brady, and nobody expects him to get to that level. But what have you seen with his comfort in the pocket? Do you think that he has had trouble trusting the offensive line this year, or do you think that Trubisky has panicked too soon when he's standing back there?
Well, of course, if you watch any quarterback through the whole year like we do and analyze one team, you're going to see some of that. But, you know, some of that is just what Coach Nagy said today, that he has a problem reading coverages and reading the field. So think about it, Mark. You're in the pocket. You don't know what's in front of you. So what's the first thing you do? You start running around, right? Because you can't read the coverage and you don't really know what's in front of you. Coach Nagy pretty much answered that question for you today about his footwork. The reason why he gets excited in the pocket is because now he's lost what coverage they're in. He's lost what's in front of him. So what's the next thing you do? You sprint out, you run out. And a lot of times this year, he did it too early. A lot of times this year, if you ask me, he didn't step up in the pocket and then run and get out of there when he could get some yards to pick it up, because that's really what his strength is, right? That's really what they do. But it's going to be interesting to see next year, or maybe even in this offseason, what kind of O-line coach and or offensive coordinator they hire, to see if we get more of a scheme where, you know, Mitch is rolling, he's booting out, running a zone, maybe more quarterback design runs. Like, I think it was against the Giants where Mitch ran kind of an ISO or a G into the end zone, those kind of things, or against the Green Bay Packers. He kept it down there for a 9-yard gain, kind of a zone read and a design quarterback run. So see where they go with this offense will tell you a lot more about what they think about him. But I think we can all agree that when they kept Mitch in the pocket a lot this year, he just didn't look comfortable. And it's just interesting to me to hear Coach Nagy say that they're going to teach him coverages in now what's going on his fourth year in the NFL. So I don't know how that's going to work. It should be interesting, and we're all going to be watching.
I'd be curious to get your thoughts before we let you go on the defensive side of the ball, because where the linebacker position played well this season, they are going to have some tough decisions to make there, where Nick Kwiatkowski took every advantage of the opportunities he got when Trevathan was out and Roquan Smith was out. And then KPL, Kevin Pierre-Lewis, comes in and does some nice things as well once both starters got injured. So Trevathan, his contract is up. He's 30 years old. Kwiatkowski could be a free agent. Well, what do you think makes the most sense for the Bears to try to do at linebacker?
Honestly, I think what you saw on film this year, and, you know, with Trevathan being 30 years old, you just kind of see who gives you the best deal. You kind of let that play itself out, because I think Danny Trevathan's a great leader out there. He's a very good linebacker, and he seems like a great locker room guy to have around and a good leader on your team. So, you know, if you can get him for a good deal, you keep him. If not, Kwiatkowski played really, really good football. And you just kind of maybe, you know, develop two team-friendly contracts and throw it at both of them and see which one you can keep, because I don't think there's a lose-lose there, right? I think either one you get, either one you keep, I think you can win football games with them on that side of the ball. I think that if, you know, Eddie Goldman is healthy, and Akeem Hicks, of course, is healthy, because remember, Akeem had some problems even before his elbow, right? They held him out against Minnesota. He was having some knee issues. I thought on film early in the year, I thought he wasn't moving as well as the last few seasons. So it'll be interesting what they do there. But I think as far as that linebacker position, you know, I know that you watch this so much film, and it's just kind of interchangeable to me, and just kind of who gives you the better deal for your team on that side of the ball.
Olin, thank you. What time is Hawaiian New Year tonight?
Hawaiian New Year would be about 4 in the morning Chicago time.
Oh. Thank you, Olin. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate your insight all the time, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks,
all right, take care. That is the one and only Olin Kreutz.
The Stay Ready All-Star.
Six-time Pro Bowler for the Bears. As you can find Olin Kreutz on Twitter as well if you want to read all of his thoughts, at Olin_Kreutz. The bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Nebraska, Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, and Purdue single game. Tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. Top of the hour, we'll talk to the Tribune's Rich Campbell. Coming up next, Bears general manager Ryan Pace on Matt Nagy's play calling. Mark Grody and Anthony Heron filling in for McNeil and Parkins on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Big Ann Heron with me, Mark Grody, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score until 6 o'clock tonight, at which time it will be the Julie and Maggie show. We'll get a chance to talk to those two right before they start their show in transition.
Julie and Maggie going to ring it in,
Yeah. All right. They'll be on from 6 to 9 tonight, so they will be your local entertainment tonight, and they are entertaining. So
are they allowed to pop bottles on the air?
I think so. Anything? Absolutely. Anything goes, man. Anything goes.
Encourage them to do that.
You can do whatever you want to do on the radio. It doesn't matter. Mm. It's all
Wild West.
You getting crazy tonight? Will you be up until midnight tonight? Or
I'll
will
be
you not?
Awake until beyond midnight, because that's just how I roll anyway. I do think the wife, she appeared to purchase a bottle of something. I'm not sure exactly what it was. I didn't investigate the bottle, but I saw a bottle come back from the store with her the other night. There's certain items that would be more exciting in the bottle than others. You know, I'm not overly particular about the beverages, but then at the same time, I got a flight in the morning because I got to go to San Antonio. I got a broadcast this Saturday there for NBC. So I'm not sure what
champagne,
it was.
Probably, or wine. Are you a drinker? Do you drink? I don't even know.
I mean, yeah. Yeah,
you're a casual drinker.
I'm a casual drinker.
You're what we alcoholics refer to as a normie. You're a normie.
Normie.
As in you're normal. You're a normal drinker. That's how we characterize.
As opposed to a non-drinker.
Yeah, well, as opposed to
what would a non-drinker be?
Yeah, a non-drinker would be crazy.
Okay.
That's what I would say about people who are non-drinkers.
All right. Yeah, then I'm a normie. So, yeah, I'll be awake at midnight. Hopefully the two-year-old will be sound asleep, and we'll probably toast something, whatever the beverage was that she brought in the other night.
I have chosen to, and I don't know if this is a good thing to have done, but I have made the decision to work on New Year's Day with one Steve Rosenblum. So I will be on the radio tomorrow at 7 a.m. until noon, and fittingly bringing in the new year when substances become legal on what is the WB show, the Wake and Bake Club, which I was on and a part of the manifestation of with Rosenblum. So it's sort of fitting. So it was an offer I couldn't refuse. Mm-hmm. So I'll be asleep before midnight tonight, and then I'll wake up and
before
it'll be 2020.
Midnight.
Yeah, that's the plan. I think I told you I have 6 o'clock reservations, which will become 6:20 reservations because I'll be here. But that's I have old people reservations tonight.
Yeah,
so
I'm gonna text you at midnight. Special. Wish you a happy New Year.
Please do.
I'm just gonna text you right at midnight. Happy
I know
New
how
Year.
To turn off my phone. I
that's
do.
The thing.
I have no problem doing that.
Like a lot of people get really bugged and bothered when you're texting them at weird hours and everything. Why is your phone on?
Yeah, why is your phone on?
You don't want to receive messages right now.
Exactly.
Or if you're on some kind of group chat or group text and like, hey, can you take me off of this?
Turn it down.
Yourself off of it.
Turn it off.
Mute something.
Right.
Turn it off. What's the big deal?
All right. Yeah, people apologize.
I sleep
to me
like
sometimes.
A rock, so I mean, anybody can text me in an hour. Don't bother me none.
Is your volume on though?
No, volume's on. I'm out.
Really?
I'm out. Like, unless my alarm is the only thing that wakes me up on my phone.
Okay.
That's it. It's the only thing that wakes me up, and it doesn't matter what time it is. If I hear it, I get up. But anything else, text noise, and I'm done. I'm out. I'm out like a rock. My kids wake up in the middle of the night. My wife's the one that's going to get them. She yells at me all the time. She goes, "You don't get up." I go, "I don't hear anything."
So, what are you doing, man?
I want a sight line with Mr. Dixon over there talking.
So Anthony was just standing up in the studios going to all the other microphones here in the studio and pushing them down. Like it seemed like you had some obsessive compulsive issue going on.
Well,
like
I do have a bit of that.
Do
I definitely
you?
Got some OCD tendencies.
Really?
I do. My teammates used to give me a hard time because when we put our laundry into the laundry bag, like socks and jock straps and wet t-shirts and all that good fun stuff that people get into, not only on New Year's Eve, but other times of the athletic endeavor of other portions of the year. But I would always fold my clothes, just unconsciously, I would fold my clothes up. My wet, sweaty, smelly football clothes would all be folded up, and then I would place them lightly in the bag and roll up the socks and roll up the jock and roll up the t-shirt, up the everything, and just unconsciously, not even paying attention while I'm doing it, and then every once in a while one of my teammates would notice that I'm doing that. Like, Ant, what are you doing? Like, why are you folding socks? Why are you folding your sweaty, smelly bleep shirt before you put it into the laundry bag? It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Didn't make sense to me either, but my mom has some OCD tendencies, and she passed some of those to me.
You know what? Go to the doctor. They'll set you up with some Lexapro, and then you'll be all good. 20 milligrams a day. Everybody's on it.
Good to know I have that option.
It's the way to do it.
It was not one I had considered before, just in relation to trying to stop folding clothes. You know, it's not a habit that I feel is worthy of trying to get rid of. If it manifests in other ways,
well,
though,
you know,
could be more problematic.
I mean, if it gets any worse, maybe we start you at 10 milligrams.
Okay. That probably won't affect me. I'm large.
Just to like slightly like take a little bite out of the problem. I just want everybody to have problems. That's all. Because I have problems. So I want
and
you
narcotics,
to have problems.
Apparently.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Discuss that in the morning, apparently, freely.
What's that?
All the narcotics that everybody's going to be able to be involved in.
Yeah. You can start doing that. You can. Boy, that's going to be interesting when we're talking about the fact that marijuana will be legal in the great big beautiful city of Chicago.
Are there a bunch of dispensaries already open?
Smoke weed every day.
Every day. But then, like, are they already in existence?
I don't know.
There are.
Look at you.
Several...
You seem so annoyed.
Yes, I'm facing the wrong way.
There are several dispensaries that at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning will be ready to go.
So people
in the greater Chicagoland area, there's going to be lines.
Well, it's pretty amazing. I mean, you walk around Chicago, and I do live downtown, and even like I think I live downtown now for like 5 years, but you walk downtown in any day, and I do often in the last 5 years, and you will smell the marijuana wafting through the streets of Chicago, and it's always kind of been okay to do it. It became a parking ticket recently. I think, was it last year or 2 years ago? Where
anything less than an ounce was just a slap on the wrist.
Right. It is exactly what a parking, like, it's $50. I mean, that's what it is. So it becomes legal. It will be interesting. There'll be a lot of things that I will be interested to see how people handle it and what different levels occur. So, yes. They will be wide open. 312-644-6767 is the number. My guy Wayne in Lafayette is on the line. Hi, Wayne. You're on the score.
Hey, Mark Grudy and Big Ant here, and buddy. I want to tell you guys before I ask my bear question how great it is to have you on for all the bear stuff all through the years. You guys do an excellent job, and you just make it such a great deal. And just want to thank you both. You're just the best. And I also heard you guys were the two best dressed at the 100-year Bears football deal.
Oh yeah,
you were
no doubt
to.
About that.
So anyway, but hey,
go on,
Grudy, what happened when Owen Kreutz, I heard him a few weeks ago, told you about the having the long sleeves on at the Green Bay Packers game, buddy. But anyway, I heard that was great stuff, and you and the Grobber on that real long transition for about 3 hours the other night. That was great stuff. But,
that was great stuff.
Hey, Trevathan and Kwiatkowski, I really don't want to lose either one of them guys, and Floyd is not living up to his expectations whatsoever. Is there any way that we could cut Floyd and keep them other two guys around?
Well, Wayne, thank you for the call. Right now, the deal with Leonard Floyd is that they did pick up the option for him. It's still possible that he can be cut, injury considerations and things like that. So I imagine that Leonard Floyd will be around, but as Ryan Pace said today on several occasions with certain position groups, competition will be real. Nick Kwiatkowski, unrestricted free agent this year. I think he's earned some cash. There's no doubt about it. We talked about him yesterday and the fact that beyond Blake Martinez, the Green Bay Packers could probably use another inside linebacker. So that's a team that I would keep an eye on, considering their desire for Bears free agents. And then, you know, the other guy to keep in mind, too, who played well, and I don't think that our guy mentioned Kevin Pierre-Louis, KPL, in that. It was a good year for the inside linebackers in terms of the depth. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to see Roquan Smith getting injured, but it actually was a good year in terms of next man up, that whole thing with Danny Trevathan getting hurt. I don't know. What do you think, man?
I think that similar fashion to what Olin was describing, we were talking to him about the linebacker core. Danny Trevathan, when it comes down to it, he's a better all-around football player, better all-around linebacker than Nick Kwiatkowski, but between the two, Kwiatkowski is a better blitzer. So if you're going to look for aggression from the linebacker position on the inside, when it's Danny and Roquan in there at the same time, Roquan is the effective blitzer of those two. Trevathan hasn't necessarily proven to consistently be an effective blitzer. When you have both Kwiatkowski and Smith in there together, now either guy can bring it. And then when it turned into Kwiatkowski and Pierre-Louis, either guy could bring it. And so that was what I was a bit surprised by even when KPL got in the lineup. So if it comes down to it, and Daniel Trevathan, partly because of, and, you know, he's 29 right now. He'll be 30 at a certain point here. If he's willing to take sort of a team-friendly deal, then I think you keep him around, no doubt. It just depends on how team-friendly, you know, he's willing to be with that. And at 29 years old, it's not like he's 35. And 29-year-old running back, that's a big deal. 29-year-old linebacker, as long as you feel good about where he's at physically, that's not the end of the world. So I think age matters because you've certainly seen the peak of Danny Trevathan, whereas as we've seen this season, Nick Kwiatkowski is just sort of entering, you know, the prime of his career. I think overall, if you can keep both guys, it's great. But both at this point, like we discussed yesterday, are going to see themselves as starters and are going to want to be paid as much as possible, I would imagine, to be a starter, whether it's here or elsewhere. So it seems the more likely scenario is probably that either Nick Kwiatkowski gets an offer from someone else that the Bears aren't willing to match, and then they keep Daniel Trevathan around, or they say, you know what, we have nurtured Nick Kwiatkowski. He's our draft pick. We're bringing him along. He's playing the best football of his career. All right, go do your thing, Danny. It's been nice knowing you.
Nick Kwiatkowski did not pass up Danny Trevathan in my eyes this year. Like, he was really good, but you're still your best, most effective combination at the inside linebacker spot, for sure, to me, was Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan. And just watching Trevathan play, it doesn't look like, I mean, maybe he's lost some speed, but I don't think so. He still plays fast.
He's playing really well.
Looks
yeah.
fast. So, I mean, I don't know when that begins to diminish, as you said, going on 30 years old. So if they were able to get a 2 or 3 year deal done with Danny Trevathan, I still think that the two best guys in the middle are Trevathan and Roquan at this point, but I don't know if that would afford you the luxury of keeping Nick Kwiatkowski, who is just a really good overall football player. All right, we got to take a break. Coming up at 4 o'clock here, just after the top of the hour, we will speak to Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune, a regular here on The Score. He was out in Lake Forest today at Bears headquarters. He took in what everybody had to say today. We will get his thoughts on that next. It's Mark Grody and Anthony Heron in for McNeil and Parkins on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.